Do you believe in life after death? The owner of a company asked one of his employees. Yes, sir, the new recruit replied. Oh, well, then that explains it, said the owner. Because after I gave you the whole day off yesterday because you were going to your grandmother's funeral, she showed up an hour later. This morning we begin a new series of messages titled, Come and See, Go and Tell. Let us read the scriptures together. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found what Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." May the Lord bless his word this morning. A few years ago, my youngest daughter decided that she wanted to go for her master. And she called me one day and she told me and she said, "But, you know, I want to go away from the United States. I want to go to school somewhere else." And I said, "Well, where?" And she said, "England. And there's some schools that I'm going to be applying to. But only one is my top choice." And so she did, and we prayed, and after 3 months or so, she heard from about two schools, and she was accepted, but she wasn't happy, because that wasn't her top school. So we kept praying and wondering and waiting, and then one night, past midnight, I get a call, and she was yelling. And I said, "If you don't calm down, I can't understand what you're saying." And she said, "I know it's truly late, but I needed to share the good news with you. I got accepted to my top school. I couldn't wait till tomorrow to tell you. I had to tell you today." And I believe that's exactly what happened to Nathanael. They had been waiting for the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Philip was the one that found him first. And it was such good news. I know the Bible doesn't quite say this, but I believe he took off running. He couldn't wait to share it with his best friend. He went to him and he said, "Nathanael, we have found the Messiah. We found Jesus." He was so excited. And he thought that maybe Nathanael was going to say, "Oh, that's awesome," and give him a big hug and say, "Come on, let's go see." But instead he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of East Naples? Sure." And I just love Philip's response. He could have started arguing with him. "What do you mean you don't believe it? We've been waiting for so long. Don't you believe what I say? Don't you think I have an eye for people and I know it's him?" You know, many of us are argumentative and we could argue forever. We want to have the last word. But instead, he said, "Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and see." You see, in Nathanael's finite mind, what Philip was saying did not add up. Because he was supposed to come from Bethlehem. But you see, Philip was not about to get into a major argument and waste time. He just invited him. "Come and see." Let us not confuse others with our message. Let's keep it simple. Christianity is not a religion or a philosophy. It's an invitation to a personal relationship with a living God. Amen. And all you and I have to do is invite others to that relationship and to share with them our story. A story of redemption, a story of salvation, a story of healing and wholeness. Come and see. Basically, Philip was saying, I'm not going to sit here and waste hours arguing with you. Let's keep it simple. Come and see. Why? Because in a world without grace, Philip had experienced grace through the person of Jesus Christ, through one encounter. Through one encounter. And his life was changed. Philip had gone from living a purposeless life to a life with purpose and passion. Eugene O'Neill puts it this way: man is born broken. He lives by mending. The grace of God is the glue. That's good news. Philip had tasted and he has seen the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. And he could not keep it to himself. I don't know why so many of us become secret Christians or closet Christians. Are we embarrassed about what we believe? You know, sometimes we just go from one end to the other. Or some people become obnoxious Christians. They gotta be hitting people with the Bible on their head constantly. If they live in a house and there's someone that is not safe, they go like this every day. And then they leave it on the table hoping that that person would read it. Instead of just being Jesus with skin on. Many times we're the only Bible the world will read. And the message is so bad. Others don't really want to read it. But when the message is good, Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We cannot have enough. And this is basically what Philip did. So Nathanael came along. They went to see Jesus. And the minute Jesus saw him coming down the hill, he said, there is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Jesus was revealing the heart of Nathanael publicly. He was basically saying, there's a man that has a heart with no hidden agenda. Here comes a man with a sincere and pure heart. You see, he was obedient to the law of Moses. He was a true Israelite. He loved God and his country. And he was eagerly awaiting and praying for the Messiah to come. Imagine that. You're coming down and Jesus is calling you out. I wonder how many emotions Nathanael was experiencing. Probably shock. to hear that Jesus knew his heart. But also his heart was warmed by Jesus' recognition of him. The Messiah knows me. He recognizes me. He sees my heart. Not only Nathanael's heart, but he knows us by name. And he recognizes us as well. And in today's world, probably you or I would have said, have we met before? Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give an account. We could live life whichever way we want to. In obedience, disobedience, recklessly. But one day, you and I will give an account. Because God knows everything about us. And the beauty of it is that even when we were sinners, he died for us. Because he loves us. Jesus knew everything about Nathanael, just like he knows everything about us. And Jesus says to Nathanael, I saw you before Philip called you. I saw you when you were under the fig tree. In those days, it was very common for people to come and sit under the fig tree to study and to pray. We read about that in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 4, Deborah, the prophetess. She was ruling the land. People would come. That was her office. People would come and meet her there under the fig tree to tell her about their problems. And the fact that Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree reveals that Nathanael loved and obeyed God. And after Jesus' revelation to him, Nathanael says to Jesus, Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In other words, he recognized Jesus instantly. He knew him. Now let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Revelation is really good. I don't know if you've had those days where you read something in the Bible and you say, I didn't know that verse was there, even though I've read it many times. It's a good thing. Revelation is good. But without application, it is no good. It's all head knowledge. What good is to have 5 or 6 Bibles in your house if you never read them? It's like the story of the little boy that was helping his mama clean the house. They were just sweeping and dusting and cleaning up, and all of a sudden, he finds this huge book with all pages. And he takes it and he runs to his mama. He says, Mama, Mama, I found this book. Whose book is this? And the mother said, don't touch it. It is God's book. He says, well, what good is it? Let's give it back to him. We cannot touch it if we cannot read it. If it isn't becoming life in us, what good is it? Verse 51, Jesus says to Nathanael, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What a revelation. Nathanael came to know Jesus and became even a disciple because someone invited him to come and see. And truth be told, most probably you're here today because someone, somehow, somewhere, invited you to come and see. When was the last time that you invited someone to come and see? And the invitation can come in many different ways. To a relationship with you, as you let your light shine, because we're the salt, and people will get thirsty and want to know more about that peace that you have and that joy. Or to a Bible study that you're having, or to church. And then you continue to pray for that person. Because when it's time for us to give that account, as I said some time ago, I believe we are going to be asked, how many are here? Because you invited them, because you gave. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder that we are responsible for inviting others to come and see. That you have entrusted us with the great commission, not the great suggestion. And that you continue to invite us to abide in you.